May God bless you all. It's my pleasure to be here this evening. This is the second time I'm coming to visit you people. The first time was in the month of May 2008. And when I came, I was in Singapore for 1 month. And I went to Bangkok. I was in Bangkok for 3 months. The first time I came to this fellowship, I mean, I even testified to the pastor. I felt so comfortable. You know, the Bible says, you know, the deep color the deep. When I came here, I just felt, you know, the people here, I'm in one spirit with them. Because the Bible says, by one spirit we are baptized into one body. So I felt very comfortable, and the pastor took me out for lunch, and I even told him briefly what has brought me to Singapore. I gave him some two testimonies about how the Lord has been talking to me. And from there, as we took lunch, 2 days after, I went to Bangkok. Well, in Bangkok, it was not very easy for me because I tried to locate a church, a world church, but I just found most of the churches there are denomination. So I went to one, I went one couple times, that is 2 Sundays. The first Sunday I went, the gospel was like, you know, the people, I have nothing against the people, they are loving people. But when I got out, you know, from the church, I just fell sick. Because the gospel, the doctrine, you know, all these Father, Son, and Holy Spirit things and stuff like that, Trinity, you know, denomination. When I got out, I felt so bad. But the people are loving people. And I tried again the next Sunday to go to the same church just to manage it out because there was no word church in Bangkok. But I realized I couldn't continue because each time I go there after the sermon, I just come back. I feel so depressed. Although the people are good, they will say, oh, well, now it's time for lunch. Sermon is over. Let's go and have something to eat. But, you know, for the fact that I was not fed spiritually in the sermon, the preacher did not, you know, preach the word, I felt very uncomfortable. So I just stopped going to that church. And when I went to Cambodia, it's the same thing. As brother just said, Brother Nankong was not there. He was in the United States. So there too, there was no word church I could go and fellowship. So I went to one denominational church too. And the same thing, I tried to talk to the pastor about the message, about the baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and all those basic things that he has to know. Well, again, he just kept justifying that there's no problem with the baptism. And, you know, I went one time, one Sunday, the priest and the gospel did not just, you know, sink into my soul. I went again the second time. The people, obviously, they are good, you know, Israel, let's have something to eat and stuff like that. But the main thing, the word, was not hitting me, was not touching me. So I could not be there. You see, I just wanted a place where I could worship God in spirit and in truth. And I'm so happy, you know, because true love is when people are in the world. When I came here, I'm so thankful for all of you because I've really, you know, seen the way you've treated me. And I mean, the love is so real. It's what we call, the Bible calls agapao love, because we are in the world. We're in the same world. We believe the same thing. You see, so, I mean, hanging around with the people who don't believe the same thing I do, I mean, I realized the love was not very deep. It was like filial love. But when I came here, we're in one spirit, we believe the same thing. The love is so deep and so strong. And we are one family. I'm so thankful for all the things you've been doing. My beloved brother, I'm staying with him, and pastor and all of you. I really appreciate, you know, your love and concern towards me. Singapore, obviously, is a very beautiful city. But anyways, we are not so much, we don't talk so much about the country where we come from and stuff. Now that we are living towards the coming of our Lord, what we are happy is because we are citizens of heaven. Amen. That is the most important thing. And I'm so happy. We're going to read the verse here, but today I just believe, since It's my first time standing here to preach to you people. It's going to be more of a testimony meeting. Then tomorrow, probably I'll preach, you know, the scripture. Today is going to be more of a testimony, so they can know about me, what brought me here, what took me to other parts in Asia, and all those things. And I believe that God is going to bless us when we get the testimony. First, I would like us to open to Matthew chapter 3, verse 13 to 15. Can we stand up, please? Honor the great Lord while we read the scripture. Okay, I'll read. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. And are you coming to me? But Jesus answered and said to him, Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Precious Lord, Papa, this is your word I've just read. I pray that may you break the bread. And may you, Lord, feed our souls as we have gathered here, O Lord, Papa. For you are the fountain, you of Lord, wisdom, knowledge, everything comes from you, O Lord. Papa, just fill me. Let me just be a man, O Lord, you speaking through me to your people.
Hallelujah.
So that all of us will be blessed this evening. Papa, Lord, yes, may you send angels to keep us company. O Lord, Papa, I pray thee. Take total control over the service from the beginning to the end. May your heavenly name be glorified. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. So you can be seated. So now we have just read the scripture, and we see John has been talking a lot about Jesus. Well, he said, I'm not even worthy to lose his shoes. He said, let him increase, let me decrease. And he's been talking to disciples and to people about the one who is to come. And finally, Jesus appearing, and Jesus talking to John to baptize him. And John is saying that, well, you ought to be the one to baptize me. So now John was considering the personality of the person, that Jesus Christ is greater, and obviously he's supposed to be the one to baptize him. But Jesus, the humble man, he was not considering his personality. He was considering looking at his word. Because his word didn't say that he's going to baptize John the Baptist. So he was watching over his word. And he told John the Baptist that, no, you have to baptize me. We know the example that Jesus came on earth and he said for us, the way we are supposed to worship him. And we even know one time that little children wanted to come to him, and his disciples wanted to stop them, and he said, forbid not these little ones to come to me, because the kingdom of heaven is for such people. So Jesus was like trying to give us an example in the kind of people who go to heaven. And that is why, again, he talked to Nicodemus. He said, unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Born again, becoming a little child. We know the characteristic of a little child. They don't have any plan of their own. When a child is little, you see, it depends on the daddy, the instruction, whatever the daddy says. You know, the child, like a sheep, just follows. And that is the way God wants us to obey him. He wants us to be born again, so that whatever thing he says in his word, we should obey. And, you know, talking to a person like Nicodemus, a great man of the law, talking to him about the wind, you know, you get the sound of the wind. Where the wind is blowing, you don't see where it's coming, and where it's going, you don't see where it's going. That is how someone who is born of the Spirit, that is the way he behaves. And Nicodemus, being a man of the law still, he could not understand what Jesus was talking about. Jesus was like even surprised. You know, a great man of the law like Nicodemus, he said, you being a teacher of Israel, and you do not know these things. And that is why we see people that, even they preach the people who preach the gospel, ministers, there are certain things that we believe that when they read the word, they should be able to know. Or after being, you know, if they cannot know certain things that somebody brings out that is in line with the word, they are supposed to see these things and they know that this thing is true. But you see, they are blinded to this, despite the fact that the word is testifying. So we have so many Nicodemus today who are preachers. But anyways, we thank God for the grace that He has given us to know this truth. And Jesus Christ is like making us understand His simplicity, because His word is, He came, manifested Himself, and to teach us the way we should live as Christians. As I said before, this evening is going to be more of a testimony meeting to like tell you how my life has been since I left you people around the month of May 2008, and I'm coming here now. We know we have so great a cloud of witnesses. When we open to the book of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, it's talking about we surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. And if we open the book of Hebrews chapter 11, it's talking about people like Moses, talking about people like Jacob, talking about Abraham, talking about Jephthah, talking about Samson, and so many of these people who bear testimony of Jesus Christ. So we are not only looking at the past, the people who testify of Jesus Christ, for there are many, but we are looking too at the present, because we also have testimony of Jesus Christ. We know the things He's been doing, things He did, and the things He's doing in our lives. So we are so happy and grateful. I am going to, start my testimony. Let me, if I continue the scripture to expound on it, I'm going to give my testimony, how I started into the ministry. And I must say that it's not been easy. It's been very, very difficult. My life has been a very, very difficult one. The devil has tried all means to crush me, to destroy me in every form. But thank God, just like Job, but thank God, he could manipulate my flesh, but he could not touch my soul. Amen. That is why I'm still living today. Well, I grew up in one town they call Kumba. I just heard people singing Kumbaya. I was just thinking about my little town in Cameroon. So that is where I grew up, in Cameroon. In one little town called Kumba, and it was not very easy. I tried to do many things in my life, but you know, I was not just succeeding. My parents, my mom, my dad, very good people, wonderful parents, they did all the sacrifice they could do. I went to the best schools you could think of in the country, then they were working, but I really wanted to impress my parents so much. I wanted to be the best in everything. I wanted to maybe become a pilot, you know, something great. Then my daddy would be really proud of me and my mom. You see, so I was more like a homeboy. I spent most of my time reading in the house and stuff like that. But the results will come, I will not do as much as I thought I'm going to do. And even many times my friends were like really wondering what was happening. But anyways, I made a borderline pass. And after, well, my dad said, well, you can travel abroad. So since he was working, mom was working too, and, well, we sacrificed, and I traveled. It was while living back in Cameroon, it was not easy. I traveled to Canada under a student visa. 2 years, I had a dream, and I saw this black woman came angrily in my dream and told me that I'll be in Canada for 5 years. I cried. I said, but I've not completed my work, I've not completed my school and everything. What are you talking about? She said, I'm going to be there for 5 years. It was terrible. So I got up from the dream. Then I was just, you know, Catholic, and, you know, I didn't know how to, you know, to pray, you know, against things like that. Then I was walking, that was in Thunderbay, Ontario. I walked around the mall. One time I sat, Keskus Mall, I sat in the mall. I saw one white woman came and said, wow, he said, she's seen something like a black cloth. They have just tied me up, and my life in Canada is not going to be very easy. I inquired. They said, well, those people are psychic, but I didn't just, you know, care about that, and I just continued there. 5 months after that, my life was horrible in that country. It was terrible. I lost the job I was doing. I mean, everything was just falling apart. My car got bad. My friends were just succeeding. But to me, it was like everything was just blocked. And since things became difficult at home, I could not have ready funding, constant funding. I was struggling to make it. There was no way I had to drop out from school. As I got out from school, it was not easy trying to work, do some main jobs and stuff like that. It was getting to 5 years now. And I was caught up by the immigration that I'm not going to school, I'm not supposed to work. Bam, I was sent back home with 10 Canadian dollars in my pocket after being overseas for 5 years. When I got back home, I didn't just understand what was happening. Well, I left the country on the 23rd of August, 1990. I came back on the 23rd of August, 1995. So that dream that woman told me that I would be in that country for 5 years came to pass. But I didn't just understand. I came back home, I just felt like one big monster. Somehow I was being, you know, surrounded by a funeral shroud or something. My parents, then things were hard. They tried to sell the things that they could sell, you know, to try to, you know, assist me. But I tried the business. I tried everything, you know. It was just hard. I just couldn't understand what was happening in my life. I became so tired of everything. And one time I was just walking along the highway, and I just wished that the car should just run me and let me die. I just said, well, if I'm the only one who has sinned, let me die and go to the hell. Because then they told me, someone told me that, well, you should fast. I fasted 3 days dry. Then I was still a Catholic and nothing happened. So I was just angry. I said, if I'm the only one who has sinned, let me die and go to the hell. And that night I had a dream, and I was in like an avalanche of fire, and I was screaming, crying to the Lord. I said, Lord, help me, Lord, help me, Lord, help me. And when I got up, it was a Sunday morning. I realized, you know, I was just calm and I was just quiet, and I could just get the bells ringing, you know, beckoning people to come to church. And I just said, Lord, I want you to show me a place where I can go and worship you. I said, I don't want any more to go to the Catholic Church. And that is what I said. A few days after, a pastor came and came to the house and spoke to me and took me to his church. That's where he baptized me in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was when I came to know about the message and, you know, many other things. And I started to grow, you know, in the Lord. I started to have, as I got into the church there, I started to receive so many dreams and night visions and many things. Like the first one I recall was like pulling a serpent, you know, like far away. It was very heavy, very difficult. But I struggled until I brought it down and I said, let the fire of the Holy Ghost consume you. So these things were just like God showing me, you know, the difficulties that the devil was like, you know, doing in my life, but I overcome. Again, I had another one. I saw like a small road. I saw thorns, a lot of thorns. I could not cross. So a lot of thorns on the road. But somehow I struggled. I crossed and I saw myself running on that narrow path. Then I went right up into the air and I said, I am free at last. So I knew again God was like making me to see something, you know, and all what the devil was doing. Then another one came that I saw a Goliath coming to confront me, and God gave me strength. I crushed it down. Then it was like a big house with double doors. As I crushed the person down, the house burst, the doors burst open, and I saw many people like souls in prison coming out of the house. So I knew probably, you know, all these things God was just like showing me. Then a brother had a vision. He saw, as we were praying in the church, he saw the clouds all turned black, dark. And I was very scared and I was running, and the thing was following me. All of a sudden I got into a light. The light was so powerful and the darkness could not come. And water came and just started washing me. And my clothes were all white and I was holding the Bible in my right hand. So, I mean, certain visions. Then, there was another time praying, the sister had a vision, saw a rainbow just came and surrounded my head. After I had heard a voice, the voice said, I'm going to make a covenant with you. So I kept on having this dream. Then the other one that came was this Jew. God took me from a shop, and he came. I was in the shop, and he said he lost me so much. So he took me now from that shop, and I went and stood on a platform. Then I saw members in the church, and I was talking to them that I have to evangelize. Then a man came, a teacher in my school, in another dream, and he said, I've been requested to travel abroad. All these things I was just having as I started fellowshipping there. Then another one came, I saw myself preaching in a foreign land, and the people I was preaching, you know, to, they had, you know, complexion, yellow complexion, like you people. You know, that was when I had not thought of traveling. Then again, I saw three white faces. They said, business in Australia, business in Australia, business. Again, the plane, there was a plane, and the plane was going off. So I knew that probably the Lord, I will be traveling, that Australia was like a symbolic name. I knew it was going to be a country that is far away from Africa, not necessarily Australia, that I'm going to travel. And all these things God was showing me. I saw myself in the plane, and the voice said, I'm sending you to Egypt to deliver my people. You know, so these things just kept coming. There was another one, another brother saw a vision, and I was driving a car with the picture of Jesus at the window, talking of a ministry and many other. There was another one, I saw an angel of the Lord came, and he was holding a little book, and he told me that he has a message for me of Brother Branham. And he brought the book and asked him if I can keep the book. He said, yes, I can keep the book. And he was showing me something there, stressing that I understand it. And after, we went to one restaurant, and I saw a lot of people. They were holding plates and food inside the plate. And the man said, the angel said, is there nobody here to be baptizing these people? So I knew, obviously, there's something. Well, that dream came to pass when I baptized over maybe 60 people, yes, in Cambodia. So the Lord, you know, he's been talking a lot about me traveling. So when the time came for me to travel, it was just like a miracle, because then there was no money. Things were like very, very difficult. But when the time came, my mother just had arrears, you know, that the government had not paid her. And, you know, gave me the money for the ticket. I had an invitation. And I said, well, the Lord wants me to travel. Let me see, let me travel, and let me see what the Lord wants me to do. So when I came here, Singapore, I came to the church. I was, before I could even come, right back in Cameroon, about, let me say, 5 years ago, in the internet, I've seen brother's picture, I've seen prophetic revelations. I see the picture. Something told me that you're going to see this man one day. But I didn't go deep then to be reading the messages there. I just saw his picture. I just saw prophetic revelation. So when I came, you know, being, you know, leading the truth, I said, well, I, you know, talked to him, wrote to him. I said, I'm in Singapore. I would like to come to the church. He gave me how to get here. And when I came here, I told him, well, maybe you cannot remember. I told him that the Lord has been speaking to me in several visions and dreams that sisters have been getting. And I told him the one of Brother Branham, and I told him one other one too that I've been receiving. And well, when I came here, about just 2 days after I traveled, I left Singapore. I went to Thailand. Now, when I went to Thailand, you know, staying here in a hotel in Singapore. Singapore is a very expensive country. So 1 year was not easy. You know, the small little money I had was all gone. So I left Singapore. I went to Thailand. I was in Thailand for 3 months. There, things were really, really difficult. But I was saying, Lord, what do you really want me to do? You want me to go back or what? Tell me. You have been giving me all the signs that I have to travel, I have to do something. What do you want me to do? So I was there in Thailand. Things became so tough and hard for 3 months. I was just like praying. Now, you see, sometimes people come abroad and they do some kind of things. You have some people, well, I'll say Africans, who came to Thailand, and because they needed a job, they got into doing some kind of documents that they have a degree to teach English. And many of them had a job teaching English, paying their $1,500 a month and stuff like that. I said, but well, I don't have a degree. What am I going to do? You know, I mean, am I just going to move around like that? It kept pressing. Well, I'm preaching not to please man, but to please God. But I was tempted too. I had a fake degree. And I had a fake degree that I applied for a job to teach English. I applied 70 places. No person called me up. I said, yes. But always by applying, it was succeeding. I tried. As I was doing like that, constantly I saw myself, I was not putting on shirt in the dream. I constantly saw myself not putting on shirt. I knew there's something wrong. Anyways, I knew I was doing wrong. But God was reminding me again, because when you read in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, it's talking about we, you know, children of God, it's talking about the full armor, that we should have the shoes, which is the readiness to announce the gospel of peace. We should have the belt, which is truth. We should have the helmet, which is salvation. We should have the sword, which is the word of God. We should have the shield, which is faith. And we should have the breastplate, which is righteousness, covered this way. So, I mean, the Spirit just told me that you don't have this. There's no righteousness in you. God kept reminding me time and again in my dream, walking, having dream with no shirt. I said, Lord, I know I'm doing wrong, but what am I going to do? Okay? Now, after applying, I had one interview to go at Pak Chong District. So I said, well, now let me go and see. Before I could go, I had a dream again. I saw my own dad. He was very sorrowful, sat somewhere and was telling me that I should come to him. I was holding banana peelings in my hands. And he was telling me to throw those banana peelings. Let me come to him. Then in the dream, I was like kind of hesitating to throw these peelings. But finally, I threw the peelings and I went to him and I said, Dad, I love you. So, the next day I went for the interview, and I failed the interview. Then I was angry. I said, but why should I fail this interview? I mean, all the time I've applied, Lord, my friends are working now, I failed this interview. Why? So I was angry with the Lord. But then again, I just took my Bible. You see, and that I believe that was the anger I had in the dream, but I came to the Lord. My father there was symbolizing, you know, my spiritual father, who is the Lord. And I came now, opened my Bible. I said, Lord, I am sorry. You know, I'm pressed. I started giving excuses. Do you know, Lord, Abraham too was pressed. He lied. I said, Lord, you, Isaac too did the same thing. I was pressed. I don't know what to do. I need something to do. I won't ask anybody for money. So, but he told me, you know, the Spirit told me, delete everything, all those applications you have written, your net, your computer and everything. Go and delete everything. So the Spirit was just like pushing me. I went and deleted everything. The people I even applied, they were not even responding. You see, I deleted everything and the documents I had said, crush and destroy those things. I just destroyed them. I called my friends who have been applying. I said, no, this thing you are doing is not good. You know, I'm really sorry for doing this, but you see, this is the document, I'm tearing it off. So I said, okay, Lord, I don't have anything. I don't have no education. I don't have anything. I'll just come to you like this. As I saw the dream, I threw the banana peelings were just symbolizing the dirty things I was doing that I wasn't supposed to do. I threw and I came to him. And when I came to him, I realized that something changed in my life. Not too long, I was going to Big Sea La Prao. And when I went there to check my box, the internet, I had a mail. And in that mail, I read it, it came from prophetic revelation. It said, the Jews are coming home, get ready for the big day. And I said, I had a dream before and a Jew was pulling me out from a shop to the pulpit. Obviously, I was not expecting a Jew to come and pull me out from the shop to the pulpit. These things are spiritually descent. There's something here. You know, I was feeling within me that the time to move you know, it's coming very, very close. And as I went to sleep, you know, like thinking about it, then I had a dream. I saw a pillar of fire. The pillar of fire, I saw it there. It was so bright. And I said, pillar of fire, the thing was going. I was following. The thing went. I went down and stood on the hill, and the pillar of fire disappeared. Then I saw a man. I had another dream. I saw a man asking me to come over to his place, that I'll stay with him. Then he was begging me that I should come over to his place. I had that dream again. Then I saw two young girls. You know, they were very young, and they were telling me that the Lord has promoted me from 2 to 3. I said, what does that mean? So during that time, I was like having this dream. The Spirit now led me to, I wanted now to go to Laos. But the Spirit turned it, I came to Cambodia. And when I went to Cambodia, then, that was in Phnom Penh. There was a meeting. That's where I saw this brother. And he came to my hotel, and he told me that he would like me to come and assist him in his church. And I would stay with him. So that is how my going to Cambodia, as I went there, the Lord did wonderful things in his church, and it was so good. When there we met some sisters who were sick, we met so many people who were sick, and the Lord, you know, did so many things. So first, I would just like us, before I continue the testimony, I would like us to read a scripture here. Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Now, what does that mean, to fulfill all righteousness? I think it means that to do all that God requires. You see, now there's a tendency when you open your heart, you know, to do all what God requires, there's something that is bound to happen. And when we read the scripture again, read of verse 16, when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. Now, Jesus was talking about fulfilling all righteousness. And what was the first thing that happened? Heaven opened. Now, when I threw all those things, I realized that I'm a different person. Despite the fact that the people are doing it, I was pressed. God cannot bless me through that. When I threw all those things, what was the first thing that happened to me? A door opened. The Lord now came to lead me where I should go. And that was the time that I went to Cambodia. And the dream that I saw this brother who is going to, like, you know, I'm going to help him, who's going to start working together to bring up a ministry, as God has, you know, planned and ordained it, was fulfilled, because I went, I met him, and I stayed with him for quite a long time. And when I was in Cambodia, there was that prayer in the spirit. That is when I started to read prophetic revelations deeply. The spirit was like pushing me, telling me, read. I went to the internet, and I realized something. Whenever I go, when I'm going to read prophetic revelation, I'll have a dream that I'm entering a white car. Whenever I'm going to read the next day, I'll have a dream I'm entering a white car. That is, I mean, it just kept coming. So, I mean, you know, the Bible says God will lead his people into all truth. So God, after, you know, leading me, you know, to know the message of Brother Branham, to giving me a revelation that the message is true, was leading me to Brother's ministry. Showing me this thing, then I realized that I just have to get a flash to copy everything, download everything from the internet, so that whenever I have a spare computer, I can be reading. So I took now all the messages there, I read everything, and I realized that I was going in the Word, and there was light. There was so much light that I came to understand so much of the Word that I did not understand before. I felt so happy within myself. And what happened, you know, when we read this scripture again, that is supposed to be heavens open. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. You see, that was the second thing that happened to Jesus. When Jesus talked about fulfilling all righteousness, the door opened to him. Heaven opened. And the second thing was this dove and the light. So I just see it was like a party. When I started now giving myself to the Lord, just surrendering everything and coming to him, the door opened and the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord led me to read the word to understand more and more and more and more and more and more and more. Before even a brother could come to Cambodia, I had a dream. After this message, because obviously the white church, the white car is symbolizing the true church. That's what it's symbolizing. So I knew that the Lord was like leading me somewhere and to make me to understand things that I had not, you know, known before. And after reading all the messages, I came to understand so many things. And before brother could come to Cambodia, I had a dream. And I saw him, and I was approaching a certain house, and I saw Brother Gan, and I saw some people. There was a pond of water just in front of the house. And I left the people, and I said, I want to talk to Brother Gan. I finally, as I looked around, I could not see him. Then the Spirit told me that he has gone upstairs. That's what the Spirit ministered to me, that Brother Gan has gone upstairs. So I started to climb. Climbing the steps, climbing to go and meet him. I realized, you know, the walls were all written, had strange writings on the walls. Strange writings. Then when I went up, I entered a certain room and I was given a seat. I sat down and I saw some people down. So when he came to Singapore and he was preaching again and asking many questions, things that I don't understand, I came to understand that climbing is a spiritual climbing. It was not a physical climbing. You see, because the word that was given was making me to have more revelation of the word. You see. So, I mean, I came to understand so much that, you know, just because I knew that I couldn't do on my own. I knew that I had to surrender to God, although I was justifying myself that calling people's names in the Bible. We're not supposed to follow the bad things people did in the Bible. I was supposed to follow the good things they did. But, you know, I was just blessed that the Lord made me to understand that he cannot bless me through that way. So, that is what happened. When God came, I came to understand many of the things that the Lord was, like, telling me, leading me to do. And what happened, when we read the scripture, there was last... And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. That's verse 17. John chapter 3 verse 17. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And that voice is what? It's confirmation. I believe all of us here have been confirmed. For me, there's nobody who can shade me from what I believe now. You see? There's no doctrine anybody can tell me, you know, because the one we talk about, Brother Branham, you know, God gave me the revelation of his ministry. God gave me a revelation of Brother's ministry. You know, everything is tied with the word. You see, and I believe we all here cannot be tossed around by any kind of false doctrine. So, I mean, after getting all this truth, I just, you know, realized that I really have to surrender to God. And the things that have been happening in Cambodia, it's been really a miracle. Because even before I could even go there, the Lord showed me that I'll pray for the sick, I'll do this. Despite the fact the devil has beaten me so much, that I told the devil that, you know, I got a precious thing and that is the word. There's just nothing you can do to shake the word out of me. You see, you can do whatever thing you want to do. Many things happened, you know, in Cambodia as I visited that church. As the Lord had promised. There was one sister, I met two sisters. In fact, many have been sick of all kinds of different things, but these two sisters, their case was like really serious. You know, I mean, the other one went to the hospital and the doctor said it was terrible. Three people died in a ward. And after we had prayed for her, three people died in a ward, and her blood count was just 100. and she was just next to death and stuff, you know. But the Lord Jesus appeared to her and said, "My daughter, go home." And I even gave the testimony yesterday, and she obeyed the voice, and the doctor was like saying, "Oh, you cannot go home, your situation is very bad. Just stay here, we can manage you up. Maybe well, you're going to die, but just stay here." But she obeyed and went, came home. The lungs were all gone, and many other things were really happening, and her hair was falling off, and you see. But after that, didn't take long, the blood started to climb up. The blood is over 600 counts now, and you know, that is pretty much. She's building up. So I really want to thank God for all these things, when the things that He promised, to see these things coming. That's why I say, well, we talk about the saints of yesterday, you know, the testimony they have concerning Jesus. We are saints, we have testimony right now to justify, to make people understand that we are worshipping the living God. And there's no one who can shake us from that belief. And the other sister too, Casey was very serious. She had, she was like sending out blood very seriously to her count was very low. And, you know, when we prayed, an angel of the Lord appeared and sprinkled her water. Just like that. Sprinkled her water. She came and told me the next day. And not too long, just a few days, the blood just stopped. And, you know, the blood count started, you know, rising. Now she's happy and both of them are happy. They don't have any problem in their body. All this we have to give glory to God. When we see Jesus Christ manifesting in our midst and the things that He promised, we see everything happening, we really have to thank God. But above all these things, the thing that we should thank God is the word that we have. Because there's so much confusion now. Even people who say they believe Branham message. Because there are certain things that myself, when I open the word and I see the things they're arguing about, quoting, you know, using the quote of somebody, meanwhile it's so clear with the Bible. And these are big ministers, you understand, famous names. But if they cannot understand these things, well, I just know that we have so many Nicodemus now living with us. So we should be very thankful. I just thank God again for the grace that He has given me, you know, and to lead me to this truth that I know. And if God will give me the grace to go back home, I think even the end time message preachers in Cameroon, they still have this tendency of holding firm to the words of a man. You see, and that is not going to save them. You see, so, I mean, I really have to, you know, do something about it, even back home with the ministers there who believe this message. So I thank you all. This short testimony that I really wanted to share with you this evening. And tomorrow I'm going to have another sermon that I believe the Lord is going to inspire me to preach to you people. Right now I want to take the time to pray for the sick. If there's any person who is sick, I can just pray for that person, and maybe we can close them. I believe, you know, brother gave me 1 hour. It's close to 1 hour now.
Anyway, let me just show you some before you pray for them.
Okay.
Let me just show you the slide that we have here.
Okay.
You can go sit on there. Okay, let me just switch on this.